Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. My name is Lee Younger. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is the message I gave on Good Friday, March 29th, 2024, from the Gospel of John in chapter 12.
From the moment that Jesus really started doing his ministry, there was a question on every heart and a question on every lip, a question in everybody's mind. The question was, who are you? He was saying things that people had never, not only never heard before, but things that people had never thought of before. And he was doing things not only that no one had ever seen before, but no one even thought that anyone could do. Who are you? Who are you? There's a phrase that John uses uniquely in his gospel when he wants to talk about this idea of Jesus showing us really, finally, who he is. The phrase was, he talked about his hour, an hour that had not yet come and then an hour that had come. The first time he uses it, he's the only gospel writer that uses it. The first time he did was in John chapter 2. Jesus and his friends had been invited to a wedding. And Jesus' mom was at this wedding as well, and weddings were hard for her. They were tender things for her to have to be around a wedding. She never got hers, because when she was engaged to Joseph, who she later did get married to, but kind of in secret, on the side, people found out that she was pregnant, you know, and so it was a big shame in the community, and we're just not going to do this big fancy wedding thing for you. And so she never got one, and if she ever tried to tell anybody, you know, well, an angel appeared to me and said that I was, you know, miraculously going to get pregnant with the Messiah, people are like, you know, they roll their eyes. They're like, oh, if I had a nickel for every time I've heard that one, you know. So they're at this wedding, and it's hard for her anyway. But Mary was behind the scenes. She's kind of working this wedding. And so she finds out that the wine is about to run out. And up to this point, Jesus had not done any miracles at all. And so I don't know if she knew that he could turn water into wine miraculously, but she knew who he was. And Mary knew the Bible really well. And she was a widow by this point, and she knew that God had done miraculous things for widows in the past, involving oil and flour and stuff like that, and just not running out. So she goes up to Jesus and she says, you know, the wine has run out. Show them who you are. I think what she may have really been saying is, show them who I am. And Jesus said, woman, which was a formal way of addressing her. He was saying to her, Mrs. Joseph, ma'am, why do you involve me in this? And then he says, my hour has not yet come. That's the first time we get it. Over in John chapter 5, Jesus healed a man who was paralyzed. He healed him in Jerusalem, in the temple precincts, on a Sabbath day, and told him to pick up his sleeping bag and walk. And he did it, and the religious leaders were super upset about this, because you can't do that kind of work on the Sabbath. And by the way, guy who healed him, you can't heal people on the Sabbath. You can't work miracles on the Sabbath. It's like, well, y'all can't work miracles anyway. But he's like, So it says in John chapter 5 that from this moment on, they started to persecute him. They started to plot how they might get rid of him. And over in John chapter 7, he's in Jerusalem again at this festival called the Feast of Booths. And he was preaching in the temple court. And the religious leaders are standing there just watching him speak. And everybody at this festival was talking about Jesus. And again, it's this question, who is he? Who is he? Like, is he this? Is he that? The other thing. And when they're watching these leaders just listen to Jesus' teaching, some of them said, have these leaders decided that Jesus, in fact, is the Messiah? The one that we've been waiting on? The promised one who's going to rescue us and save us? Have they decided that? And somebody else said, now, he can't be the Messiah. When the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he's from. And we know where this fellow is from. And Jesus turns to them and he says, yeah, okay, you know where I'm from. But you don't know who I came from. I do know him. And at this, they became so infuriated that they tried to arrest him. But John says they were not able to because his hour had not yet come. Over in John chapter 8, we may have been at the same festival. He's actually in a debate conversation with these religious leaders. And they are wanting him to straight up tell us, who are you? At a certain point, he said a thing that got them so upset that they actually picked up rocks to throw him at him until he was dead. But no one was able to lay a hand on him, John says, because his hour had not yet come. Well, finally, Jesus says, the hour has come. It was a few days before a Passover, and Jesus was in Jerusalem with his friends and with his disciples, and he was at the temple teaching, and there were these people who were outsiders. They were not Jewish people, and they were, you know, in town for the Passover, and they had heard all about Jesus, and they're like, we want to see him. And so they asked Philip, will you take us to Jesus? And Philip is just like, I don't know. And so he's like, he asks Andrew. And so then Andrew says, yeah, let's just take him. Come on, backstage passes. Let's do this. So they go to Jesus, and Jesus says this in John chapter 12. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Okay, so it's here. The time where Jesus is going to tell us who he really is, what he's really about. Not all the healings, not all the miracles, not all of that stuff. That was not the hour coming yet. Now the hour has finally come. Who are you, Jesus? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. For those of you who are new with us tonight, all year we've been talking about all of the times that Jesus says to someone, follow me. And what does it mean? And what does it take to follow Jesus? And we've done a really deep dive into all the things that it could mean to follow Jesus, how it is about sacrifice, and it is a demanding call. And he is asking us to lay down our lives and to take up a cross and to follow him. But in this instance, even when he says, follow me right here, there is a place that Jesus goes. When he talks about a kernel of wheat falling to the ground and dying, there is a place that Jesus is going to go that is so deep and so dark, we can't follow him there. Who are you, Jesus? Show them who you are. We are demanding you tell us who you are. What will you do to show us who you are? You know what he did? He let one of his best friends make a deal behind his back with his enemies so that he would be taken, arrested, and executed. And he just let that same friend walk out of dinner and go do it. And then he let that same friend walk up to him in the Garden of Gethsemane and kiss him on the face, talking about, Hail Master. Don't you Hail Master me. That's what I would. But Jesus let him do it. He let him do it. What will you do to show us who you really are? You know what he did? The one who created this world and all the boundless galaxies outside of our own, he let himself be bound and tied up and carried away like a criminal, even though he had never done anything wrong. What will you do to show us who you really are? You know what he did? The one who knit every heart together in their mother's womb. The one who knows every single little intricacy of every personality and every detail of every person's life. He let people that he had loved and made punch him in the face and spit in his face. He could have stopped it at any moment, and he let them do it. He let them make fun of him. He let them lie about him in a sham illegal court. What will you do to show us who you really are? You know what he did? He let a little old puppet provincial governor sign his death warrant, and then order that he be tortured, beaten, and torn to pieces to within an inch of his life. I can't even possibly describe it to you in a sufficient way. What will you do to show us who you really are? You know what he did? He let them take a 100-pound beam and put it on his lacerated, ruined back and lead him out of the city, his city, which is his rightful inheritance as the king of Jerusalem and of this world. You know what he did? He let them lead him to a garbage dump. He let them bind that beam to a post. He let them fasten him to the beam and the post with spikes. What will you do to show us who you really are? You know what he did? He forgave the ones who did it right there in the minute that they did it to him. What will you do to show us who you really are? You know what he did? And this is so incomprehensible, I can't possibly understand it. I can only try to explain it to you. He allowed all of the wrong in all of the history of the world and the future of the world from every single human heart, all of the rebellion and all the hatred and all of the racism and hypocrisy, all of the abuse and violence, all of the neglect, all of the unkindness, all of it. He allowed all of it to be put on his record as if he had done all of it when he did none of it. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He allowed himself to become the most detestable being in the universe, so that even the Father turned away. What are you going to do to show us who you really are now that your hour has come? You know what he did? And again, I can't even understand this. I can't even hardly explain it. But he took what would be the punishment of hell itself, which is to be eternally separated from God. And somehow he and the Father worked out this deal where they were going to compress an eternity of separation from God. Everybody else felt it as 3 hours of global darkness. Jesus felt it as an eternity of being separated from God. I can't understand that. I can't explain it to you, but I know that he went through it. Because it's what I deserved. What are you going to do to show us who you really are? You know what he did? Wonder of wonders and terror of terrors. Somehow, and I have no idea how, the author of life allowed himself to die. This is who he really is. This is why I came. This is who I am. My hour has finally come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Why? Why? One time Jesus told a story about a man who had 2 sons, and one of them ran away. He didn't want to be a part of the family. He didn't want anything to do with this life anymore, and so he got a hold of his inheritance from his dad. And his dad gave it to him, and he just left town, and he went out, and there's no other way to say it. He threw his life away. He just ruined his own life. We call him the prodigal son. Prodigal is a word that means wasteful. He wasted his life. He just threw it away. And when he was about to be dead, he decided, I got to go back home, because I'm going to die out here, and maybe I'll get to be a servant in my dad's house. Maybe he'll kill me. I'm going to die here either way. So he goes home, and instead of his dad even being upset with him or making him be one of the servants or anything like that, when he got home, his dad ran to meet him and fell upon him with hugs and kisses and then threw a giant party for him and all of his old friends. And this kid had an older brother. And when the older brother found out about the party, he said, I'm not going to that party. You want to know why? Because it's not right. It's not right. Because wrong has to be paid for. It's not just and it's not right for people to get away with their wrong and their sin and their evil and their ridiculousness. It's not right. I won't go into that party. I don't want to be anything. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And then Jesus ends his story right there. We don't know what happens to that guy, whether or not he ever went into the party. You know, the thing about that is that guy comes off as a real jerk. You know, he's grumpy. He's just that son. He's just a real jerk. But the thing about it is, he's right, you know. He's actually right. It is not right for no one to pay. For there to be justice, wrong has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. Who are you, Jesus? What is your hour? It was that. It was the cross. It was the way he let himself die. Why did he do it? Because the older son was right. Wrong has to be paid for. What he didn't know was that story wasn't over. There was a third son. There was the son who ran away. There was the son who stayed, who wouldn't go into the party. And then there was the son who came from heaven and took all of our wrong on his own shoulders, on his own record, and then bled for it and paid for it all. So that when the prodigal decides he's done messing around and he wants to go home, he can be welcomed home. And anybody who wants to, anybody who realizes and knows, I have outside of Jesus, I have thrown my life away. That anybody who wants to is welcome home. That's why he did it. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Everybody's welcome home. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for paying. Thank you for paying the debt that I could not pay. Thank you for taking my place. Lord, in all these times that we've been talking about what it means to follow you, I've tried to always give us some little practical thing to walk away from each morning with and each time with so that we can find out, you know, this is how we begin to follow you in this way. And I don't think we can follow you here. But I think that one thing we can do is to always thank you, to love you, and to remember what you've done, and to thank you. So Lord, with one heart, we say, thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
With your life you paid, by your death we're sealed, by your love, by your blood, by your wounds we are healed, by your love, by your blood, by your how can this be? How are you in chains? How am I set free while you bear my shame? All my wrong made right, all my past undone, my dark heart made bright like the morning sun. Live your life. Death we see by your love, by your blood, by your wounds we are healed, by your love, by your blood, by your wounds we are healed. Oh, how can you stand in this sinner's place, perfect son like a dream. I am whole and new. You declare me clean by what you went through. With your life you paid, by your death we are sealed, by your love, by your blood, by your wounds we are healed. By your wounds we are healed. you free. You are free indeed. If the sun has set,